What's up out there in WJR land? Yes, this is four-time Stanley Cup champion of your Detroit Red Wings, Darren McCarty, with the Darren McCarty Show live here on a Friday. Joined as always by my partner in crime, Sean Belegian, and Eric Dortch on the ones and twos as always, gentlemen. And I'm excited for tonight, obviously. Schedule, everything, but our last show before Christmas and stuff like this next week will probably be a best of. So, Mr. Positive, I know you're out there, bro, somewhere. Give me a call. You're already on. I'm going to start the show with you, bro, because with everything that's going on, I'm sure Sean and I will talk about all the sports shutting down and anything. I don't care. This is my show. These are my guys. You're my guy. I missed you. I need some positivity. Greg from Shelby, give it to me, opening up the Darren McCarty Show on this December 17th. What do you got?
Warriors, take hold of that vision that comes from above, but temper your destiny with peace, truth, and love. Bear with me, you guys. I'm at the hospital, Ascension in Rochester Hills. Pretty sick, D-Mac, Shawnee B. I think we're coming around. They thought it was cancer. Jamie Samuelson, and I've been through a very, very rough 2 weeks.
Oh, and sorry, pal.
Well, it sounds, are you on the, do you think that we're coming out on the other side? And I know that we usually talk on Fridays, and then we've been missing each other, and Dortch kept giving the updates, and we've been saying, you know, some prayers out there for you, bud, but are you doing what you need to do to take care of what you need to take care of?
Yes, I am, my friend. I love you so much. And
we're going to dedicate this. We always dedicate to you, Mr. Positive, stuff like that. That's why you're a big part of this show. But, what I always say is that just keep fighting and do what you can do. It sounds like you're in the best place possible. So we look forward to the update. And keep in touch. All right, bud.
I will.
Well, remember, you're the leader of the Warriors, bro.
Thank you, my Warriors. Friend.
You got it. And I'm gonna give you a hoorah. Anyways, right there, I'll hit you right there because you're getting back up, bro. And that's what it's all about here. Anyways, sorry to hear that, Greg. And like I said, it's that positivity. I think we all, you know, and Sean, I'm gonna relate to you because you know, forget about the sports aspect. You know, like games are getting canceled, you know, like the Colorado's come down with it. Doesn't matter what sport. I think Greg brings up a Greg is a great person to a point that people are getting sick again. People are, and hopefully they're not getting as sick, but as long as we take care of what we need to take care of, you know, that's the reality of it. I mean, the reality of it, we can talk all we want. But that's sort of the truth. And whether it was, and I'm not even saying it was anything to do with COVID that Greg's, you know, taking care of, like he said, other people are still sick too. So our prayers go out with them like that. But I don't know, Sean, let's start. Colorado's Avalanche aren't coming in for Monday. I'm going to think they got the D-Mac flu, but it's not the 90s. So this thing's for real. Games are canceled. NFL's setting precedences. What you got for me here on this Friday?
No, you're exactly right, Mac. I mean, you saw the dominoes start to fall a little bit, really starting in the last couple of days. Some college basketball games got canceled. And then last night, get a load of this, 2 hours before game time in La Belle Province, they announced no fans were going to be at the game. So they played the Philly-Montreal game in front of an empty barn, and then today they canceled that game, and then more NHL games were postponed through the Christmas break. And, Mac, let's be honest. You know what? When you see this stuff, you start to think to yourself, what's going on? The NFL moved some games. Obviously, Raiders-Browns got moved to Monday. Seahawks-Rams. Washington football team Eagles got moved to Tuesday. That doesn't make anybody happy, but here we are. I hope we're not going down that road again, bro. I really do. I hope we're not going down that road again.
What's that road? Cancellation?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
That's what I'm terrified of.
Here's the one thing that I always and I think you probably taught me this or whatever, but not only along with follow the money, follow the winning, but you know, the NFL is a monolith, yep. Right? And you hear that they're coming out, moving games, changing games, realizing, you know, players are coming out, commenting on different things. And it's the lack of, I guess, consistency for anything else. 'Cause this isn't political. You know what I'm saying? This is about the games are going to play or not and what's in the best interest. How does it play out, Sean, in your mind? And you know what I can say, because we're in Michigan, we're a gambling state. How many bowl games do we get through before one of them is affected? Because once it affects the bowl, like the inconsistency and the lack of consistency to get, because, and what do I mean by that? It seems that the athletes are asked to do similar things as regular people, yet they continue to get tested, where I can go to the grocery store, I can go other places, and I guess the consistency is not there. So, I mean, I don't have the answers, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to hit the bowl season pretty hard. And you know what? How much would that stink for us here waiting for Michigan to get to the promised land? And the worst part is the best games are at the end, so the snowball effect tells you, from what we've seen, because it's not the first time. I mean, buckle up. I mean, what is the best course of action?
It's a terrifying thought. And I think what is frustrating, Mac, I mean, for me, and I think you know this, NHLers are 99% vaccinated. 99%. And, you know, this is this breakthrough that we've heard so much about. It isn't really a breakthrough anymore. Unfortunately, guys are getting COVID, and that's what's frustrating about it. I mean, the NFL, I believe it was 95%. The NBA is high up there. So, you know, that's a frightening prospect in and of itself. But you're right, Mac, the money tied into these bowl games, even the lesser bowl games, and I'm not even talking New Year's Six, because there's still some magic that dances around New Year's Six, but – you know, some of the, like the Bahamas Bowl.
Take today.
Today's
game.
Hey, yep. And you know what? I did Toledo broadcast back in the day. The MAC is a great conference. I had a blast in my time there and everything. Don't tell a program like that bowl game isn't important. And, well, you know, it's not only the money that it comes down there, but the payouts and stuff like that and the exposure. So, you're right. I mean, I'm terrified that it starts to affect stuff like that. I hope it doesn't. College football, for the most part, has remained unscathed. Even going back to last year, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of it. There was some, but not a lot. This year, we've been really lucky. But things are changing. It almost reminded me, Mac, of that first night, you know, back in March of 2020, where they all started to go down. It was really dominoes. They all started to go
trivia,
down.
Trivia, do you remember the first, right? Trivia, do you remember the first to go down?
Was it the Houston Rockets?
It was Rudy Gobert. So
yeah, oh yeah, Rudy
Gobert. Remember, and then Donovan Mitchell that they were, he was mad, his teammate gave it to him or something. But you remember these conversations where we weren't aware, but 2 years in with the vaxes and stuff like that. I mean, it's wishy-washy, because you bring up a great point, Sean, working for Toledo, and I don't care how much money it is to the bowl game. Let's just say, for argument's sake, it's 200 grand. 200 grand to a MAC program or a program like Toledo goes a long ways. You know what? And now as we're getting into some of these other bowls, this is what these athletic departments and these guys are working on. And hey, do you see what I see in the background there? Because I can see over Eric Dortch's shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh yes, that's the engineer. Extraordinaire producer. Brandon Blake. Hey buddy, remember us?
He's my conscience today. He's my
He's
my
Hi,
conscience.
Buddy. Can you tell him
I fellas, how we doing?
I gotta ask Blake a question. Blake, I saw your bad beat last night. Oh. Do you mind sharing your bad beat with everybody from last night? I mean, when you sent that text out, seriously, my heart broke. I'm not joking, Blake. Can you tell everybody your bad beat last night?
Yeah, so I had I had like one of those same gay parlay type deals, and it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire had to get, I think it was like 18.5 receiving yards, Chiefs minus 3. The total was over 50, and then I needed Justin Herbert to get over 16.5 yards. He got rushing? 16 on the dot.
Oh.
And it was a $5 bet to pay out 120. So I mean, I didn't lose much, but still.
Well, you know what? Good thing that you bagged us and you got that raise. So,
I didn't bag nobody.
Listen, in all seriousness, I just read a great article. There's a lot of new and congratulations to Sean. Also, even though it takes a little longer. Remember, we're AM station, so things are in place before they get announced a lot. But Brant. But, Blake, you deserve everything. I appreciate everything you've done for me and our show here and stuff. And proud of you, kid.
I appreciate it. I'm always happy to help you guys out. Always. Forever and always.
And I appreciate you keeping an eye on that Dorch character. Anyways, we're going to take a break here. We come back. I got a whole bunch of gambling stories like that. But maybe the kid will learn when he's young so that 5 is only $5 and not 5,000. Anyways, we come back here at Darren McCarty Show. We're going to talk some hockey. 30 games in. What do you think of this Red Wings team? And you'll get my opinion here. Darren McCarty Show, Friday night, WJR. See you in a minute. Thanks for joining us here on the Friday, the 17th. Just hope everybody out there is getting all their Christmas shopping and everything else done what they need. But speaking of Christmas shopping, Sean, a little bit early, Steve Yzerman not known to like to wait to open his presents because, wow, out of this first. Now, I'm going to talk individual players first, and then we'll get into my diatribe about the inconsistency of this team, and that's the reason that at this point of the season, they are not a playoff hockey team, even though they're inside. They're inconsistent enough. But players, right? Obviously, Lucas Raymond, Moritz Seider, your boy Alex Nedeljkovic we talk about. But one of the guys that I, how much can we say more than what they're doing as far as every day and the maturity? And what I like about those three young guys too, not only is their youth, their talent, their contracts, but the people, right? I mean, just mature. You listen to them talk. You see it. That's the vibe. That's what you feel in the dressing room that's gone on. But, one of the things that I know because of being one, but it's your support players and stuff like this. And, maybe we'll start here and talk about I guess, your first half seasons about those guys. But, you see as we're moving the youth along, Stevie's still making moves, re-signing Fabry, which I think is a great move because he's a special guy. We got to always remember we got Verona coming back. And then, the role guys, the Nemesnikovs, the Ernies, even the Rasmussens, are we seeing sparks with him? So fun team to watch, frustrating team to watch because the before the season expectations weren't as high, but when you play as well as you do consistently and can do things that you couldn't do in the past because you have the talent there, your expectations move, right? So where are you at with this team?
It's interesting, Matt, because I think the first thing that jumps out to me is, look, I mean, nobody wants to say it, and nobody did say it in our midst, but the last couple of years, far too often, they were nearly unwatchable. We're going to watch, but, I mean, it was a tough watch. This is an entertaining team to watch. One thing that I saw last night, and I'm really interested to hear from you, Mac, to see if you kind of saw the same thing. Rod Brind'Amour is doing a tremendous job with the Hurricanes. That is not an all-star-laden top-to-bottom roster. He has them playing the right way. They do so many little things. They play the 200-foot game, all of that stuff. And I saw a team that had more sandpaper and more grit and more little things last night than I saw out of the Red Wings. And that was a little disheartening to me because, you know what? you can't do anything about like the talent discrepancy right now. There's still moves that Steve has to make, but you can do things like hustle on a potential icing. You can do things like, finish that check. There were just a bunch of little things last night that I saw Carolina do that I wish Detroit did more of. Did you see the same thing last night?
Well, that goes, Sean, that's a perfect example of the consistency. And if I go to last night's game, right, and I think I'm trying to break it down and why, and I think that, you know, on the road where other teams get to match up, the matchup's favorable, you don't get to play against who you want to play against, right? I think that that's sort of the coaching. But here's the thing. Is it fair to say that if I'm a Wings fan, the next step for them as a team is to be that Carolina team?
Yep.
Because here's the thing. What you mentioned, sandpaper, but they have talent. And it might not be the Connor McDavid blow your doors off talent, but they got like eights out of 10, you know, and guys, but they compete all over. And I think that that is exactly what you see. And what you saw last night was the difference, the next step, right? Because, you know, Carolina, the way that they play with that style is the perennial playoff team. And because you look at how they've added certain scoring elements, they're dangerous. Now, the question with them is always their goaltending and different things like that, but they're always going to play that way. Why? Their coach, yeah. Right? Yep. They play like their coach played. Anybody who doesn't know Rod the Bod, Brenda Moore is probably still the best in shape guy on their team, right? So, and he could probably still play. I'm surprised he didn't suit up last night. You know, I mean, I think he probably thought about it. Wasn't feeling it after morning skate. But that's so that as exciting. And I think because let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's sit back and embrace this and enjoy the journey and the watch, because that's what I've had to do without, so I don't get frustrated. And it's just sort of, okay, but you can't continually get behind 2 and 3 goals on the road early, you know, and it's the same old thing. And to your point, it's supposed to be easier to play on the road because you're supposed to play simpler.
Yeah.
Well, this team, and this is a good thing, is they like the bright lights of the home ice. I don't mind that because you weren't a homer before, you weren't an awayer before. It might as well be something. So if that's what we're working on, but in order to be consistent, because I think that that's the next step. When we can sit here and say, wow, that Red Wing team, I can see a lot of that Carolina team and stuff like that, then we're ready to make that next step. Until then, I don't know. But is there any players maybe have who's like over exceeded other than the guys I've mentioned or you've enjoyed watching or somebody who's something maybe you've seen?
Can I bring up Vlad again? I know you brought him up, but you know what, Mac, honestly, I didn't expect what he's shown. I really haven't. Now, in fairness, I haven't seen him up close a lot. I remember I watched him with Ottawa a couple of years ago. I saw him a few times with Ottawa a couple of years ago because, you know, that other team in the Atlantic Division that I watch a lot of. But I like his game, Mac. I do. I like his game.
He's a, you know what, and he was the one I was going to bring up because, you know, I think he's got 9 goals and just the way the third line of play, but he plays throughout the lineup on that forward line, and he's like the switchblade, the valuable guy, yep. Right? You look at, in this day and age, a guy that can skate, but that can is imperative to kill the penalties. We got enough guys that put the puck in the net, but scoring even strength goals is a big deal too. You know, it's a hard thing. I guess my next question is because, you know, the one thing that I've really liked – and what I've seen is, you know, even more maturation and peeling of the onion back of the leadership of Dylan Larkin, you know, because it hasn't, you know, he's done it on the ice, but it's also too, is that you can really see, and that goes to, I guess, the conversation is how does he find a way to find what the road trigger is, right? What's the road trigger to everybody? Because it's a different thing. It's a different wave. It's everything else. It's everything like that. You have to learn that. But I'm wondering if you see the same thing slowly but surely. But you know, like there's you watch these young men evolve into players and leaders. And I mean, I'm enjoying watching him do it in front of my eyes.
No, and you know what it is, Mac, and I remember I said this a few years ago. I don't know if it was with you or, you know, it was just in general. I said, you know, the people that think that Dylan Larkin's going to be the next Steve Yzerman, the next Nick Lidstrom, that's not his game. And people got so offended when I said that. And I was like, you guys, he's a darn good player. You'd rather have a Dylan Larkin than not have a Dylan Larkin, but he's not that superstar player, and that's okay. I'll take what he brings to the table. And I think as his career has progressed, I think people are seeing exactly that. I really do. I think that people are seeing, you know what? He's just a heck of a player, and it's okay. He's not going to be, nobody's going to, you know, vote him for the heart or anything like that. He's just a good player. And I think to mature and from the sounds of it on and off the ice, well, that's what you want out of your captain and to lead by example. So I'm totally fine with it. Whereas, you know, if you and I said that 2-3 years ago, people took great offense to a comment like that, but it's like, he's a good player. You want a guy like that on your team.
Well, you can see the development too. Right? Because the young guys don't develop under somebody who's not leading them the right way. Right? Yeah, they're all talent and stuff like this. But and I think that's what's most important right now, Sean, in developing this culture. It's not about the wins and losses as much as it is. Do we see, right? The things that would bother me is the things that you saw, the things that you mentioned last night about the 60-minute game. Because here's the exciting part. They're finding different ways to win. They're winning ways that they didn't used to be able to do. And to your point about entertaining to watch, I've stayed for more games this year than I have combined for the last 10. So
yeah.
I'll leave you guys with that. We're going to bring you back on a brighter note. We're going to talk Detroit Lions. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Well, we got to touch on them anyways. What's going on? Anyways, thanks for joining us here this Friday night. Darren McCarty Show, AM760 WJR. You know what? I'm just going to do this because, you know, the Christmas show and everything else, and couldn't be happier that we're going to have a Dave Hubbard, Dave the Butcher from the Butcher in Keego Harbor join us for the last segment. But before we do, we'll keep this one short, Dorchy. But we're sort of like the Lions wins this year. But Sean, my question is Kyler Murray coming into town, the Lions 14, 13, whatever like this. Is there any chance, any worry about the Lions upsetting this game?
No, I think especially the Cardinals coming off that very disappointing loss on Monday night. I think they're going to be an angry team. You know, with everything that's going on with the Lions right now, you know, I mean, at least they're getting some guys back. I mean, in a certain regard, Lord knows there are so many guys out. Cardinals know what they're playing for. You know, they've got to do their best to hold off the Rams, and that's going to be tough to do down the stretch. But, if I were a betting man, let's put it this way. If I were Blake, I would have no problem giving the 13 points. I really wouldn't.
No, and I think that here's the case, and I would wonder, but this is one of those games that you go down – to Ford Field to watch the other team and the other team's star, right? To see how quick this kid really is, see what it's like in the flesh. You don't have Arizona coming to town this much, but what do we make of everything? You know, I wanted to ask you this question because the Thursday night football game that our friend Brandon Blake lost the money. Well, the Chargers, the LA Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs overtime 38-26. I thought I was watching Madden, bro.
Oh,
I mean, I thought Neil Rule had the headset fourth down all over the field. Have you ever seen any more than fourth down? So my question is, you know, questionable coaching. I know that's the big thing around here. And that's the one thing that I look for. for in Dan Campbell? Am I seeing any improvement in that aspect? But it seems like, I mean, there's a lot of different coaches that need to go to school for that. But what did you make about, like, I've never seen more fourth down stops in my life than last night.
You know, I didn't mind the first time that the Chargers did it in the first half. I thought the second time, the last play of the half, was just stupid. I really did. I you got one play. Kick the field goal. Go, you know, if, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was a 17-13 game. Just kick the field goal to go up by a touchdown. In that case, I don't mind the Riverboat Gambler stuff. And you know, I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. There are some times that Dan Campbell deserves to get pounded for it. There are some times I just don't think he does. I don't mind him taking chances. But I think to do it all the time is kind of silly. It's time and place. I didn't mind it. Like I said, just to reiterate, I didn't mind it right at the beginning of the game. But that one right before halftime, man, I'm sorry. I'm one of those guys. I'm a mindset type of guy. You get stopped and you're going into halftime going, ugh, put three on the board and go in and feel good about yourselves. I would have kicked it in that case. I really would have.
But because don't you think, right? Isn't the big thing that learn it's defer the ball. So if like the Mahomes with that drive at the end that he got strip sacked by Bosa, right? So to your point, it's 14-10. They got it on the 1 yard line, fourth down, they kicked field goal. They're 17. Even if Kansas City receives the ball the second half, scores a touchdown, you're still tied, right?
Damn.
Like, is that where the math comes in? I mean,
that was just my logic. I, you're up seven. You're feeling good about yourself. You're not leaving any points on the board. Second guessing yourself, having the players second guess yourself going in at the half. No, that's what I would have done. And Mac, I'm with you. Damn it, I stayed up way too late last night because that fourth quarter, once it started cooking, there was no way I was going to bed. No way.
29 points in the fourth quarter.
And I mean, what Mahomes was doing and that touchdown run, the overtime winner by Kelce, was just awesome. You know, to see that big rig out there moving the way he was, making guys miss him and slicing his way into the end zone, I'm glad I stayed up. Look, I'm paying for it right now. I can hear my bed screaming my name right now. But how can you go to bed when you have a game like that?
Well, it's one of those things that you get locked into. And then, you know, he was talking about bowl season, right? How many times do we see in bowl season, you know, that yawn is on cue too, bro. That yawn is on cue. I mean, you are unbelievable. It's like Ralphie in A Christmas Story. You just never miss a beat.
Yeah,
but, you know, but that's, you know, we look at you different things. Bowl season, you know, we see take the Peach Bowl where MSU's playing Pitt. No Kenny Pickett for them. No, Kenneth Walker III for us, but still, I'm the type of person that's going to flip on a ball game and hope it's close.
Yep.
And then sort of get the Jones or the excitement or something like that. So, we're going to take a break here because this is a special Christmas edition of What's on the Barbecue. I'm going to the source. This is the Butcher's Butcher. Yeah. Butchers go to this Butcher. Yeah, we'll be talking with Davey Hubbard from the Butcher in Keegle Harbor. We come back here at Darren McCarty Show, AM760 WJR. Welcome back here on this Friday, December 17th, as we get ready for the Christmas holiday season. And if you follow Darren McCarty Show, I always like to use the last segment, Equal Opportunity Diner. So Sean Belegian, Big Barbecuer, and Eric Dorch, Big Microwaver / J. Depending on who's on the ones and twos. But because it's a Christmas, we're going to bring in the butcher of all butchers, Mr. Dave Hubbard from the Butchery in Keegle Harbor. Sir, how are you this fine Friday evening?
Good. You, D-Mac, and Sean, how you guys doing?
I cannot be any better. And during the commercial break, Dave, I was grilling Sean on I was presuming that the turkeys had to come out if they were doing different size, but he informed me that at Christmas time, as opposed to Thanksgiving, sometimes there's more than one meal, and the beef brisket, I hear, is more of the Christmas staple. So wherever you want to start, I just want to know what can people come and get at the butchery, the stuff that I've been eating for over a couple of years. I get the chicken wings, but chicken wings are all the time for me. But is the beef brisket, I guess my question, is that sort of representative of Christmas?
I would say most definitely. People are shifting into more homey or traditional type meals. So, yeah, that's definitely one of them. And another one that I think is a new, it's an oldie but a goodie, I'll say, a pork crown roast. So taking a nice roast and making it look like a crown.
Oh, talk to me, Dave. I've never done this. Come on.
Please. Now, that sounds sort of extravagant, but it also too. So how is this done? I mean, I'm assuming they can come to the butchery and you'll tell them how to do it. But how about for anybody listening here? What does that entail? How do you crown the pork? Wow.
So you take the whole bone-in pork loin, right? It's got 14 bones on there. And that's pretty much like the baby back ribs and the pork loin, the whole loin of meat on there. So you have the whole thing. And then what you do is, as a butcher, you know, your tricks, you got to chime the bone in the back, and then you pull the meat around, and then it kind of creates a full circle. You tie it off, and then you put like little booties on there, but you don't necessarily have to, but you French all the bones. So it literally looks like a crown, a circle crown. And you roast that pork for the same kind of amount of time you might do a prime rib or something. So it's not like super long. The other thing is this, when you say it sounds real royal, it looks real awesome and great and grand. It's a great spectacular thing on the table for display reasons. But as far as price wise, it's half the price of a prime tenderloin or a prime rib or something like this. So you could have all the looks and feels of this beautiful piece of meat in the middle of the table for the whole crowd, you know, and it's going to be half the price.
You're going to have to teach me that one, pal, because I'm familiar with it. I've never done it before, and that just sounds like a delicious meal. And David, so is it, you know, the prep time with pork, it's probably less cook time and everything. Do you have any, like, you know, I guess rough estimates of how long that might take?
You're probably looking at a couple, 2-3 hours of roast time. But everything's done at the butcher shop, right? So you could say, hey, butcher, I want you to shove some stuff in the middle of that crown. You can put like some sausage in there, or you can put like some kind of stuffing, if you will, like a bread stuffing or whatever. So when you roast it off, you have that secondary dish almost kind of cooking inside the bones there, which makes it even more grand. So I would say, you know, depending on what you're really doing, you know, 2 to 3, maybe 4 hours of roast time at 300-320 degrees in an oven, or you could throw it in your smoker, same kind of thing. Put it in the Traeger. I would say put it in the Traeger at 225 and forget about it for about 5 hours. That thing's going to be beautiful.
I love it.
I think what you brought up a great point at this Christmas season, and because, you know, I'm just going to say all my extra money's gone to gas. So, I mean, you know, to get the price point. How about some other things that, you know, people don't realize but they can get at the butcher that, you know, for this holiday season that are easy to do? Because it seems like you said people are, you know, looking to spend more time with each other, less time. Thanksgiving was just here. That seems like the big time to cook the big turkey and the big meal. Are there other things that, you know, if you're going to get my partner, Sean Belegian, here, the barbecue – you know, your barbecue apprentice, and he's wowed by the and Dortz, thanks for sending me a picture of that. Now I'm super hungry. Oh. Is there any other stuff, you know, like at the butchery to ask or things like this that can be done?
You know, I'm a traditionalist, Darren. I like a beef tenderloin or a spiral ham. Woo-hoo. Or maybe both, you know, at Christmas, and we have both of those items. You can go with a prime rib. Sean's a prime rib guy. The fresh turkeys, you know, again, we get the fresh Amish turkeys. Those are a can't miss, and it's a very affordable option as well. But I would say this, I will give you a couple tips. And one of my main tips is always this, and it's not necessarily about cooking as much as it is about being organized. Plan what you're going to do in the kitchen, get it ready in your mind, write it down, whatever you have to do. But the more you can get done beforehand, the day before, whatever it is, the more you can pre-plan and get done beforehand, the better it is day of. Sean, I know, is like myself. It's like, clear out of the kitchen, let me do my thing. But I want Sean to be a little more social this year at Christmas and enjoy his family a little bit more. So I'm going to tell Sean and everybody else who's listening, I'm telling you, D-Mac, if you're the one in the kitchen, do as much as you can the day before or even 2 days before. And then maybe you're just cooking or roasting the piece of meat or whatever it is, the center of the plate, roast a side of salmon would be even nice, beautiful for a holiday meal. But just do as much as you can ahead of time. That way that you can enjoy your actual company, because that's the most important thing.
Well, Dave, you can't see it. I just held up for Mac and Dorch. I just held up my piece of paper where I have all my stuff timed out. I couldn't agree with you more. I know about the preparation. I know what I need to do. I mean, you've taught me so much, but I'm gonna jump on what you said. Have the times that it's going in the smoker, going in the oven, and in my case, both are going to be utilized. Have it all written out. It's almost like, Mac, it's almost like a game plan. Like, I know what my game plan is, and I'm ready to go. I mean, as soon as it's go time, I'm ready to go mid Christmas Eve afternoon.
What is, Dave, I guess I would add, like, now that you see a lot and been around a lot, what is there any other, like, little tips as far as, like, what you see? Maybe you go, like, it must be tough when you go over to eat somebody else's barbecue or go over to somebody that you see maybe a similar mistake. Is it like Sean always says, he always says, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Let it go. Leave it alone. Is there any tips around this time? Because a lot of people, this is the only time of year that they actually do cook, or they do barbecue, or they do this sort of main meal. Is there any other things what's that?
That's a great question, Darren. I gotta say, I'm like Sean. I don't mess around. I don't tell anybody what to do in their kitchen. I don't tell them how to run their holiday meals or whatnot. But if you invite me over to cook or to help cook, unfortunately, I'm going to take over. So you better get out of the way. That's the kind of person I am. So I respect that going the other way, right? So if I'm coming to your house, I'm not going to get in your way. I'm not going to critique you. If you ask me if something tastes good, I'm going to smile and nod, even if it doesn't, for the most part. Especially around the holidays, most people are sharing with you something that is near and dear, a recipe or something that they really feel is something that their family's done for a long time or something like this. So there's no sense in crushing hopes and killing dreams, right? So I don't have any problem just, smiling and nodding and saying everything's great. And if it really is good, I'm one just as well to come back and say, hey, how did you make that? What was your recipe on something? I know Mrs. Belegian, I came back and got a recipe from her once. So I'm not above asking others what they do, but I'm definitely not going to critique and say, oh my gosh, that was horrible. Just not.
Is there a common, like, do people overcook the meat, or is it like, is there a common thing? Like, I guess maybe some advice or something that you would give? Like, I think the greatest advice is the preparation, is to get your things done in advance. I think that, with either the sheet, your groceries, that goes like anything else we were talking about earlier, Christmas presents. We all have that, and I think it's organized. Is there anything that you see consistently, or just something that people, I don't know, would maybe forget about that is like that you see consistently?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I will say two things. One thing would be overcooking of poultry, chicken, and turkey specifically. Mm-hmm. One and two. With beef, it's okay. Less is more. So in my experience, understand two things. I don't carry over. A turkey is going to carry over another 5 to 8, maybe even 10 degrees once you pull it out of the oven. So you pull it at 150, it's going to hit that 160 that everybody's worried about it hitting. And you don't necessarily have to hit it quite at 160. Once it's rest, you're good to go. The other thing is the beef, right? So cook it a little bit less instead of cooking it right to what we need it to, right? So a lot of cooks or home cooks, if you will, with respect, are making, say, a brisket or roast beef or something for the first time. So the prime rib is a great example. So they cook it to, oh, I got to get it to my medium rare, and they get it to medium rare, but they got it to medium rare at 6 o'clock, but we're not eating until 7:15. So by time we're eating, that thing is like medium well. The carryover is a big part. So just planning out your time, and less is more on beef and on your poultry and your chicken. Items like this, chicken and turkey, make sure you give them some time to rest, them carry over time.
Dave, how much are you open this week? I know I'm coming to bother you to get my beef tenderloin and a slew of sandwiches, but what are your hours this week? Are you open all week?
We are open all week this week, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 6, and Friday we'll be there 10 to 4.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. Kegel Harbor, the butchery. We didn't even get into the sandwiches. We're going to get you on another show after the holidays when people's brisket and everything is settled. And we're going to talk about those doggone Dagwoods, bro, because, wow, that's a whole nother issue. Anyways, thank you, Dave, as always. Appreciate you. Appreciate what you do. And if I don't see you, have a great holiday.
Appreciate both of you guys. You both have a great holiday as well.
Awesome. That's Dave Hubbard, the butcher of the butchers. The butchers go to the butchery to get their butchery stuff. You can too, Kegel Harbor. Anyways, thanks for this week's edition. Sean, Eric, Wings play tomorrow at LCA against New Jersey Devils. Jack Hughes in town. Until then, next week we will have a best of show. Mr. Positive Greg, I hope you're feeling better. Keep the good fight. And that goes to anybody out there struggling. Remember, no matter how many times you fall down, get yourself back up. It's the Darren McCarty Show, AM 760 WJR. Have a great weekend. See ya.